English philosopher Francis Bacon said that money is a great servant, but a bad master. Hi, I'm Rob West. If we don't learn to manage money wisely to take control of it, it will soon master us. It's one way or the other. Today, Bob Lodick tells us how to be the master and not the servant when it comes to money. And he makes it pretty clear as well. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're delighted to have Bob Lodick on the program today. Bob is a financial coach, and for the last 14 years, he and his wife Linda have shared their best lessons with over 54 million readers and listeners in their award-winning book, website, seedtime.com, podcast, and courses. Bob is also the author of Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom, and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. Bob, it is an absolute treat and joy to have you with us today.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, Rob. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm looking forward to diving into this topic, which is on both of our hearts in such a significant way. And we've heard, of course, some amazing testimonies over the years here on this program. But I want to start with your story. And I understand it all goes back to 2002 when your car broke down. Is that right?
Yes. I was living in a small Florida town, driving to put my paycheck into the bank that day. I'd just gotten paid. And as I'm driving, my car breaks down, which, okay, car breaks down. That's not a good day. But
no.
The reason I had been driving is because I was going to deposit my check at the bank so I could pay my rent that was due that day. But if I didn't get it there, they were going to tack on a $50 late fee. And I was so broke living off credit cards that I couldn't afford the $50 late fee. So in that moment, I realized that my financial life was a house of cards. And then I had a bad alternator that was just kind of the gust of wind that knocking that house of cards down.
Yeah, boy, it's a story I know that so many, including myself, can identify with. We've all been there at various times, and yet God uses those moments to give us clarity when he wants to teach us something. So what were some of the takeaways you had?
So out of that moment, I remember being in there, grabbing that steering wheel with hot tears coming down my eyes, asking God for wisdom. And then as I prayed that, it's amazing what happens when you pray and you ask God for wisdom. He gives it. And so from that, I just began diving into the Bible while reading as many practical books and magazines that I could get my hands on to kind of learn about all this. And I ended up stumbling on this John Wesley quote that just really impacted me, where he said, "I earn all I can, and then I save all I can." And by that, he meant reducing his expenses so that I can give all that I can. And it just so deeply impacted us because he saw his gift as an opportunity to earn more money and then to also funnel that back into the kingdom. And so we've just lived our lives by that.
Yeah. And it's at that moment that you realize that money is not bad. It was created as a good blessing from the Lord, but it has to be a tool.
Yep.
And when we see it as an end and not a means to an end, well, everything goes wrong at that point. And of course, all of that finds its roots in God's word. We see that in scripture. We talk about that all the time on this program. Share with us a bit about how God's word has inspired you on this journey.
So as I begin digging into the word, I mean, just like so many of us who've been on this journey, you know, I start reading 2 Corinthians 9, you know, and so what it looks like, what giving looks like in the New Testament, and then read 1 Timothy 6, where Paul is, you know, admonishing all those who are rich in this world, of which, you know, most of us in the West are, you know.
Yes.
And then reading Proverbs, like where it talks about how the borrower is slave to the lender, or Proverbs 13:11, where it talks about gathering money little by little is the key to making it grow. And so anyway, so yeah, so I just began absorbing as many scriptures as I can, allow that to be the thing that would define our actions that we took.
Yeah, that's powerful. And of course, we know the stats that 70% of couples say that money is a source of conflict in marriage. How did this understanding, this new realization from God's word around money, affect your relationship with your wife, Linda?
Well, yeah, anybody who has been married and has had financial disunity, like, fully understands how bad it can be. And then on the other hand, once you get in unity with your spouse, it's such a powerful unifying force. And so it was the same thing for us. Like, once we got on the same page financially and really made the word our foundation, there's so much more peace in our households. We're fighting less about money. But then on top of that, we began moving forward so much faster than I ever thought possible.
Oh, I can only imagine. Well, we're going to continue to unpack that, as well as how you can put this into practice, these principles that Bob's talking about today, and that formula, earn, save, give, and enjoy. What does that look like applied in your financial life? Bob Lodick with us today. We're talking simple money, rich life, and we'll be back with much more. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Technically, summer begins on the 21st of June, but for many students and teachers, and I'll bet the rest of us would probably say the same, it's the first week of June that really feels like the beginning of summer. And can you believe it's here already? Where did the time go? Truth is, life moves faster than we expect. And if we're not careful, days, months, even years will slip by without much thought. Time is precious. Life is short, and the seasons of life advance rapidly. So let's not waste time with God. Let's join the psalmist in Psalm 90, verse 12, praying, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Try out Anchor Devotional today. Just visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, Bob Lodick, the author of Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom, and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. Before the break, Bob was sharing his story of how God got his attention, and that directed him back to his word as he uncovered all that God has for us in this area of money as a steward. And Bob, you were sharing a bit about the impact of really turning that around and some of the things you discovered in Scripture and how that really impacted your relationship with your wife, Linda. I'd love for you to continue to unpack that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the specifics that were just mind-blowing was, again, just eliminating so much of the stress in our financial life was fantastic. But beyond that, like, we began moving so much faster towards our goals. So we'd get one car paid off, then the next car, then the credit cards, then the student loans. And we ended up paying off all of our debt, including our house, by age 31. Wow. And like, we both were standing there in awe of like what God did. But it all started with us tapping into the biblical wisdom and asking God, inviting him into our financial life.
Mm. Well, and I know our listeners are saying, yeah, I need more of that. So let's put these principles into practice. I want to start, as we talk about your book here for a moment, with what your book is not about.
Yeah, because that's a good question when you're talking about a money book, specifically in the Christian world, because you never know where you're going to find.
That's right.
But in our case, like, it's not about manipulating God. It's not about, you know, some prosperity gospel, name it and claim it thing. But it is about really tapping into the biblical principles and promises that God has made. And obviously, there's a lot of scripture about money and just kind of exploring that. But it's also not a theological discourse on money.
Yes.
Like, I'm not Tim Keller, but I do, you know, apply the practical pieces that I find in the Bible and just kind of weave it all together. And then we're also not a big fan of the shame and guilt thing that I think a lot of people see in the financial space. And that's not our thing. And we really want you to be able to enjoy what God has blessed you with as well. So it's not all about, you know, penny pinching and depriving yourself of everything in life, you know? And so that's kind of the meat of it.
Yeah, well, that's really helpful, and it aligns so well with what we do here on this program, because it's about being hopeful and reverent, but also just finding those practical steps forward as we apply biblical principles. Let's do that as we unpack your formula: earn, save, give, and enjoy. Why don't we start with saving? What did you learn there?
Yeah, so this whole formula is based off that John Wesley quote, and we decided to build our book around this and break out each section, and one of them is being the saving part that you're talking about. And one of the things that really stuck out to us as we were kind of exploring this and what this looked like with our money, you know, because for such a long time, I was tracking my net worth. And I'm like, all right, I'm doing this. And it's a great way to keep measure your progress and all this stuff. But I always was bothered by that term. And so,
yes,
because I'm like, what does Jesus say that I'm worth? It's not any number, whether it's $10 million or negative $10 million, you know.
Sure.
And so he has a different definition of my net worth. And so we just decided we're going to change that on our spreadsheet. We're going to scratch out net worth and we're going to write assets under management because we understand that everything we have, we're just managing for God. And when we actually have that constant reminder every time we pop open that spreadsheet and see assets under management, it's like it just changes how you make financial decisions, you know?
Sure does. And so much of money management is about our perspective. Is that an eternal perspective or is it really just focused on the temporal, the here and now? Let's turn to earning. What do we need to know there?
Well, you know, like you mentioned at the beginning, this whole idea that, you know, money is a terrible master, but that it is a great servant. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, we work really hard, specifically in the book, to help you get to the right heart posture. Because obviously the New Testament has so many warnings about money and wealth. And so there is a heart posture that needs to be right if we are going to be kingdom people who are trying to earn more to advance the kingdom, you know, but on the practical side of all this, like, we've identified four keys to earning more in the digital era. And so the first one is to operate within our God-given gifts and passions that he's given us, because those are our unfair advantage. Because when you are working, your work is aligned with the thing that God has created you to do. It's like you have an unfair advantage. And then the next thing there is to continue to learn and develop that craft. And so if God gave you an ability, an area, that doesn't mean that you don't ever have to do anything to develop it, but you have to keep working and honing that skill, developing that for the glory of God. And then the third key is to solve a significant problem or to make something better. Mm-hmm. And you can look at, you know, whatever job you are, you're generally compensated in proportion to the size of the problem that you're solving.
Yes.
Okay. And so this is why Elon Musk tackling some of the world's greatest problems has been compensated very well for that. And then the final key here is to operate where demand is high. Okay. So becoming a VCR repairman right now probably isn't the strongest and best use of your time, you know, but when you identify that demand, what are the things that are in demand? And you find that intersection of all these things, it's like, that's how you set yourself on a path to continue to increase your earnings in this digital era.
Yeah, and there's more opportunity than ever, and it seems like in unique ways to really tap into how God has wired you.
Yeah.
All right, we're doing a flyover here. Let's continue that flyover. And the next one is giving. And this really, I think, speaks to what you said this book is not about. It's not about manipulating God. It's not about shaming us or guilting us into doing something. There's a whole different idea around giving we see in God's word, isn't there?
Yeah, and one of the things that we really try to highlight is the joy of giving. And I think a lot of people hear that and they roll their eyes. It's like, or whatever. I remember reading, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, and feeling like he doesn't get it. Like, he's wrong.
Yes.
Like, it's not. I love receiving stuff. You know, I've always enjoyed receiving. But as my wife and I have really began living this out and seeking the joy in it specifically. And so there's a couple different things that we did. So one thing that we did that was a game changer for us was we, at the beginning of the month, created a category, budgeting category, that money came in, we put it in that category, we called it a seed account. Once it went in there, it's no longer ours. And then throughout the month, we would just pray, God, what do you have for us to do? And he would present opportunities for us. And the money is just now sitting there waiting to be given away to these different things. And Rob, I'm telling you, it made giving more fun than it had ever been in my entire life. Yeah. And so it was such a powerful, simple little hack that we did that really added so much joy to giving in our lives.
And as soon as you experience that, you want more of it. And so then you start to get creative on other places you can cut back, right? So you can get more into that seed envelope.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so good. All right, the final category is enjoyment. And I think this is another big one that we can miss that is also found in God's word, that we should enjoy God's provision. How do we do that?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of different ways here, but, you know, I think it was Sheryl Crow or something that said something to the effect of, I'm going to butcher the quote, but this idea of enjoying things is really appreciating what you have. And there's just something there when we can actually look at what we have and treasure that. Because I'm telling my kids all the time, it's like, you can make any moment miserable or you can make it fun. We can be on the best vacation you could ever dream and you can make it miserable. We have that opportunity. And so when we can truly be grateful for the things that we have, when we can truly appreciate them. And again, remember, the Bible tells us to be grateful, to be thankful in all things, because this is God's will for us. And so I think it starts with that and understanding how blessed we are. And that just really changes your perspective. But within that, I think we can enjoy all facets. We can enjoy the earning side. We can enjoy developing our craft. And we can enjoy saving, you know? And then we can also enjoy giving. And so that's been the goal of how all these pieces tie together.
Oh, that is so good. Well, we're going to have you back to dive into each one of these a little deeper. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. Bob, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, appreciate it, Rob. Thank you so much.
That's our friend and financial coach, Bob Loddick. We explore more topics like this in our quarterly magazine, Faithful Steward. The latest issue focuses on the pursuit of wisdom and how to align your faith and finances for God's glory. To receive it each quarter, become a Faith 5 partner with a gift of $35 a month or $400 a year. Just visit faithfi.com/give. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
I am thoroughly looking forward to our Weekend with AFA coming up in October, where we're going to be able to meet our supporters like yourself, to fellowship, to visit our facilities here in Tupelo, and to have everyone come together for a wonderful weekend.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
The political climate in America has changed. We've been given a reprieve, and we have to work together to take advantage of that momentum and effect even more cultural and spiritual change. We can rebuild America. The American Family Association is working to do just that, and when you join with your support, it helps maximize the impact. As our thanks, we'll give you a DVD of biblical financial advice from Rob West called Biblical Stewardship. Please visit afa.net and get started today.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's head to Kansas City. Ken, thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you. My question
is really somewhat in general, but I've got a friend who is almost ready to retire, who is a union electrician. And when the tariffs came in and took a tank, he had a really big complaint that that $100,000 he lost would never be replaced. And I said, well, sure it will. You know, once the markets go back up, whether it's this year, next year, whatever, that you'll get that back. And I just didn't know how to explain that to him, but I'm right with that, ain't I?
No, totally. Yeah, exactly right. So, you know, here's the reality. I mean, a few thoughts. One is the money he, quote, lost in the recent market dip due to the tariffs is absolutely not gone forever. I think you need to distinguish between what are called unrealized losses versus realized losses. Remember, an unrealized loss is an investment dropping in value on paper, but until you sell, no actual loss is locked in. So that's the first reality. Secondly, historically, markets recover from corrections like this. So, for example, the S&P 500 took about 4 months on average to bounce back from a 10 to 20% correction over time. And even bear markets, where you've got a 20 plus percent drop, on average recover in 1 to 2 years. And that would be true of 2008, the financial crisis, as well as the 2020 COVID crash. So I would say the recent tariff driven plunge, saw the S&P 500 drop 10.5% about, but it's already showing signs of stabilizing. We've recovered, most of that. And again, on average, it takes about 4 months to bounce back from a correction like we saw. The other silver lining is, assuming he's still making contributions, you're able to buy when the market pulls back. Let's say you're making a consistent, contribution to a retirement plan. You're able to buy more shares at lower prices for the same monthly or contribution coming out of the paycheck. And that sets you up for bigger gains when the market rebounds. Because again, if you're buying, you're putting in the same amount out of every paycheck, but stocks are cheaper because the market has pulled back, you're buying more shares of the same mutual funds or, whatever he's buying. And then as that market recovers, he stands to benefit. So, I think, those are the kinds of things I would be talking to him about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You've answered my question perfectly as to what I kind of thought it would be. And this just helps support my when I go back and chat with him again as to the direction that he's going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly right. And the other piece I would throw out there, not to throw too much at you, but, you know, keep in mind, even once he hits retirement, let's say it's 65, maybe it's not, but if it is, I mean, he still needs to take a long-term perspective. So even though you get more conservative as you get close to retirement, I would say the typical retiree, you know, should still have somewhere between 40 and 50% in stocks. Because remember, you know, we need to take, I mean, if he lives, you know, into his 90s, he's still got three decades for this money to grow, or to, at the very least, you know, have a portion of it that's growing in stocks to offset perhaps what he's pulling out to supplement his income. So even at retirement, we're still able to take a long-term perspective. And I think that's really key to being able to appreciate that time is on his side. He doesn't need to get anxious. He doesn't need to be too aggressive, but the market will recover in time.
I certainly agree with you, and you've answered it perfectly. I really appreciate the time.
Hey, everybody needs a brother-in-law like you, Ken. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for walking alongside your brother-in-law. We appreciate it. Let's go to Ohio. Hey, Brian, how can I help?
Hey, how's it going? It's going good.
Good. Thanks.
I got a question about rolling a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA. It was a rollover account from a previous job. And so I've got $55,000 in the Roth and $37,000 in the traditional.
Okay, so say that breakdown again. What do you have right now?
$55,000 in the Roth IRA and $37,000 in the traditional.
Okay, yeah, got it. And so you've got, in addition to that, another account that would be coming into the traditional, or are you looking to move the 37?
I put in $200 a month into the into the Roth.
Okay.
And so it would just be an extra amount of that 37 into the Roth.
Got it.
Would be a good idea.
Yeah. You know, how far out are you from retirement at this point?
30 years.
Okay, yeah, you got some time on your side. Yeah, I mean, I like the Roth a lot, especially at your age, because, you know, the real benefit of the Roth IRA is you get that tax-free growth, and you're never going to pay any tax on the gains when you pull it out in retirement. You also don't have the required minimum, so if you were to over-accumulate, or, you know, find you don't need some of this, you could pass it, you know, on to the kids or, you know, to heirs. And, you know, they wouldn't pay any tax on it as it comes out either, which is just a huge benefit. They also don't require you to take anything out in a required minimum distribution with a Roth, whereas they do with the traditional. So if you were a little closer to retirement, I'd say keep both buckets. But with you being that far away, if you have the cash flow to absorb the tax bite, which all that $37,000 or whatever portion you convert would be added to your taxable income in the year of the conversion. So you need to be ready to pay that without taking anything out of the account. So you need to have the surplus to do that. Then I would say, you know, getting close to 100K in Roths to grow for the future makes a lot of sense. So I like that a lot. Let's do this, Brian. I know you have a second part to your question. I've got to take a break, so stay right there, and we'll tackle it on the other side. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
What if managing your money could actually draw you closer to God? What would happen if we began to see God as our ultimate treasure? The FaithFi app helps you do more than budget. It helps you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. With easy-to-use envelope features, top biblical financial content, and a supportive in-app community, you'll learn to steward God's resources wisely and grow in generosity. Download the FaithFi app today from your app store or visit faithfi.com and click app.
Are you a new small group leader looking for a strong curriculum? Even if you've been a leader for years, there's always a need for tools to help you as you help others deepen their love for God and their Bible knowledge. AFA Stream is a great resource. With topics covering biblical worldview training, godly marriage, and more, you'll have access to some of the best teaching available. And if you're a Great Commission partner, you open up even more. Visit stream.afa.net today. Stream.afa.net.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Before the break, we were talking to Brian. He was wondering about rolling some traditional IRA money into an existing Roth IRA, and he's got 30 years on his side, and so if he's got the money to do it, Brian, I was saying that's not a bad idea. Any follow-up on that? And I know you had a second question, so go ahead.
Yeah, I had talked with our tax CPA, and he was staying, looked at the numbers and thought we could transfer like $3,500 a year from the traditional into the Roth without any tax implications there.
Okay, yeah. So he's saying you would have gotten a refund, but we can, you know, basically chew up the refund that you have and come out even. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like that plan.
All right. And then I have a taxable investment account with about $160,000 in it. And we've lived frugally up to this point, but with three kids, young kids, we'd like to take month-end vacations. And I was wondering if it would be suggestible to use that account for some of those trips.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, money is a good gift from God. We have to be careful about the seduction of wealth, but it doesn't change the fact it was a good gift, or it is, and that's to share and to provide, but I think also to enjoy. And I think God smiles when we use his resources in the context of a plan, living within our means, you know, holding it loosely, giving it generously. But when we use it to enjoy and build relationships and especially memories with your family, I love that. And I think that's a perfect use of God's money. Where to pull that from? I think, you know, if you can pull it from certainly an after-tax account, that makes a lot of sense. Would it be coming from a cash portion of that account, like a money market, or would you have to sell some investments?
We'd probably have to sell some investments, depending on the amount. I've got about $3,000 in the cash part of it. So.
Okay. And then are you managing that yourself, or is somebody else managing it for you?
No, we have an advisor that's managing it for us.
Okay. Yeah. So I would just say, you know, talk to your advisor about that, and he or she could determine which investments are the best to sell. Perhaps there's one they're wanting to take some profits on, or maybe they want to lock in a loss and use that to offset some profits that you would have otherwise paid at the end of the year, you know, in terms of capital gains. So I think your advisor could determine the most tax efficient way to do that. But in terms of you, you know, tapping some of this money? If you feel like you're on track for retirement, you want to use a portion of this, you know, taxable account to enjoy. I love that. You know, I don't know the rest of your financial plan. I assume you don't have a lot of high interest consumer debt and you've got an emergency fund that's not invested. But assuming all that's true, I'd say use it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. We got $4,500 left on the mortgage and $18,000 in emergency fund. So we're ready to go here.
That's incredible, Brian. Well done, my friend. I'm on board.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. We appreciate your calling today. Let's go to Nebraska. Hi, Sherry. How can I help?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I'm interested in determining how to choose between financial advisors. We want to make sure we're good stewards of what we have. There are two advisors, one we've had for 30 years. He's a friend of the family. We've been with him a lot, but his fees are $4,000 a year higher, which is a significant amount. And the approach of the two advisors is different. One is bonds and one's accumulated annuities. And I just don't know. Do I just need to do the hard work and dive down into all the data and see what the returns are and versus each one? Or how do you choose?
You know, it's a great question, Sherry. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I think there's the financial side of it, kind of how have they performed for you versus what you've asked them to do in terms of the investment strategy you agreed on, given your age and risk tolerance. And with that investment strategy, how have they, you know, performed against the respective benchmarks that would go along with that investment strategy? So that's a factor, but it's not the only factor. You know, if I were interviewing an advisor, I'd talk about things like, what role does faith play in your financial advice? Do they really, you know, bring in biblical wisdom? Second, you know, what is their definition of financial success? I would also want to know, you know, what their fees are. I mean, you know, clearly, I think it's very appropriate for you to evaluate what are you being charged and is it normal and customary? And then I think, you know, their experience and how they performed for you is another factor. You know, is it wrong to have a couple of advisors working on your behalf? Certainly not. I mean, I would say unless you have significant wealth, and even then, you know, having one advisor might make more sense just because you've got that trusted relationship. You don't have, you know, duplication of investments where they're not kind of looking, you know, at each other's portfolios. And so that could create a situation where you have more in one particular strategy, you know, than you should, just because they're not coordinating, you know, with one another. And so having one advisor, you know, looking over all of it, I think can make some sense. You want somebody you have a good rapport with and, you know, is easy to communicate and works on your communication rhythm. So it communicates in the way and in the frequency that you want. So, you know, some of that you'll just know intuitively after working with both of these advisors for some time. And so I would, you know, factor that into the decision. But you, to your point, it may require some investigation to determine specifically how do their fees stack up against what's normal and customary. And then second, how have they performed, you know, over time based on the type of portfolio they've been managing for you and, you know, what the corresponding benchmarks have done. Does that make sense, though? I know I've thrown a lot at you there.
That really does make sense because the emotional side is the side that I'm having the most difficulty with. And so that's really, really helpful.
Meaning to you have the advisor is a friend and you don't want to have to kind of fire that person from their job? Is that the issue?
Yeah, he's a friend of the family. He's managed my dad's portfolio, my mom's, my sister's, you know, everybody in my family. His fees are a bit higher, but we are really comfortable with him too. But this new one seems to have, you know, a different approach, and it's hard to change. It's kind of like a marriage after 30 years, you know.
You're
really used to how that person thinks.
Yes. And what is it you're liking about the advisor that's newer on the team here?
He's got his fees are less.
Okay.
And his approach is a team-oriented approach, which we like, which the other one is as well. That's probably the main difference is the fees.
Okay. And has the advisor that's been with you for some time, do you feel like you have a good handle on the returns, or would that take a little bit of work to determine how he's actually performed?
I think he's performed adequately, maybe not stellar.
Yeah.
This has been a rough market the past couple of years, so that needs to be taken into account as well.
Sure. Well, I think it's perfectly appropriate to have this conversation. I don't think it's something you need to feel bad about. I mean, advisors are used to this conversation. So I would just be transparent. I'd say, listen, I appreciate what you've done. We're considering, you know, who the right advisor is to service for this next season. And I'd love to know, can you give me a deeper dive into your fees? And secondly, can you give me a report on just how we've done versus the market? But I would say that there's more to it than just the expense. And if this is somebody you have a good rapport with and he's served you well and he's performed well, you may decide to stick with him. But I don't think you should shrink away from the conversation. Hang on the line. We'll finish off for you.
Every single believer is called to ministry. Don't buy the narrative that is limited to a select few. Every single believer is called to execute our King's Great Commission. But let us be about our Father's business. Our nation's greatest and most enduring need is for repentance of the unbeliever. Repentance across the board. Believers who live lifestyles of repentance.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner. Weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, I mentioned when you're interviewing an advisor and you're trying to find out, is this person the right one for me? What are those key questions? I mean, there's a number of them, but here's a few of them. You heard me say to Sherry, one of those key questions is, what role does faith play in your financial advice? You know, their answer, I think, can help you determine if this advisor truly integrates biblical truth. The goal is to find someone who doesn't just respect your values, but hopefully shares them. There's a big difference between an advisor who's a Christian and one who actively discusses financial decision making from a biblical lens. And I think it's critical. And that's why you hear us talk so much about the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation on this program. Another insightful question would be, what's your definition of financial success? You may want to listen for whether they're only looking for returns or considering how they might encourage your stewardship and generosity and faithfulness. They understand that money is a tool, not a goal, and that biblical alignment brings clarity and peace to the planning process. You want to make sure, of course, they're technically competent. So you could ask, do you have industry designations, and what are they? And do you have experience serving clients like me? I think that would be another key question. You could say, tell me about clients who you serve who are similar to me and how you've served them. And without, of course, naming names, they should be able to share some stories of a similar client. And then you, of course, want to know their process and their compensation. So asking a question like, what's your process for creating a financial plan? And can you talk me through your fees and commissions for a client like me? And not only are they required to disclose this, I think excellent advisors want to make sure that you understand and that you're clear on the process, but also the fees. So hopefully that gives you a few things to think about as you interview a prospective advisor. And again, if you'd like to find a CKA, Certified Kingdom Advisor, in your area, just head to faithfi.com and click Find a Professional. All right, back to the phones we go to Indiana. Hi, Sharon. How can I help?
Oh, well, I have a question, of course. Sure. If you put a pair into a nursing home, do they pay the first month and then you pick it up after that? Or does Medicare pay any of that?
Yeah. So Medicare covers skilled nursing care, I believe, for up to 100 days per benefit period, but only if it's medically necessary. So that would be like after a hospital stay for rehab, not long-term custodial care. That would, be something different. So I think, Medicaid, not Medicare, is, has assets and an income limit eligibility. And so you do need to understand that, but ultimately, that the first 30 or first 100 days would be where the skilled nursing care is covered.
And also, I know that Medicare would limit what you could spend, and they kind of monitor your bank accounts and assets. Can the children get any money after that if you have to put them in permanently? Or is all that money froze that they have invested?
So the Medicaid does have what's called a 5-year look back. And so they would count those gifts as assets. So it could, delay Medicaid eligibility if they were making gifts to the kids, because those would be considered assets of the Medicaid recipient and would be factored into those asset limits.
Okay, but as far as they haven't done that, but if they put them in the nursing home, then all them would be froze so that the kids couldn't take any of them the money out of the assets at all. I know the government gets their share, which I agree it should be that way, but the kids would not be able to have any of the assets, correct?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you need to get some counsel from an elder care attorney. I'm not an attorney, but just generally speaking, that is correct. Medicaid does have what's called a clawback. And so they have the ability to recover assets that they've paid out through Medicaid. But the kids, unless they're on the account and have some legal title to the assets, would not be able to get the assets unless they were receiving them as a part of an estate distribution after death.
Okay. Thank you for your information.
All right, Sharon. God bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. All right, let's round out the broadcast today with your questions. We'll head to Illinois. Hi, Lee. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for your program. Quick question. I'm turning 65 this year, in 6 months. But I'm a teacher and I'm working for 3 more years. And so I have insurance. I think I understand that I have to still sign up for Medicare. I'm just wondering if I have to sign up for Medicare A or Medicare A and B.
Yeah. Good question. So when you turn 65, you would need to sign up for A and B. C and D are optional. You have 7 months to do that. And that's 3 months on either side of the month you turn 65. But because you have what's called credible coverage, because you're covered under an employment plan. That waives that requirement. So once that coverage is gone, then you have 8 months beginning in the month after the employer coverage ends to sign up for Medicare. And that would be A and B.
Okay. So as long as I'm employed and I have Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, then I don't have to sign up for Medicare this year. I can wait until the year that I retire.
That's right, because you have what's called creditable coverage, and so you're covered under an employer plan, and so that waives that requirement. So you don't have to do anything until that's no longer available, and then you have 8 months from the month after that coverage ends.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. It's frustrating. I called Social Security to try to get an answer to this question, and they just passed me off to a salesman that wanted to sell me Medicare insurance. And I'm like, you know what? This isn't why I called.
Right.
I just have a technical question. I don't want to talk to a salesman. So anyway.
Well, happy I could help. We appreciate you calling in today.
All right. Have a good day.
You too, bud. Take care. To Cleveland, Ohio. Lawrence, go ahead.
Yes. Hello, Rob. Thank you very much for your program. Greatly appreciated here.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you a quick question. I have a 401 here at work. I'm 67 years old, and I'd like to withdraw money to purchase a car for, say, $25,000 versus, taking a loan, paying interest. Is that something that I'm allowed to do, or do I have to talk to the plan administrator, or is that up to the administrator, or is it legal where I can?
You can take – so you're talking about taking a loan from the 401k to buy the car?
Or just withdraw the money.
Yeah, if you withdraw the money, it's going to be taxable. You're over 59 and a half, so you're not going to have the penalty, but 100% of what you take out is going to be taxable, so it would be added to your taxable income for the year. And then the other piece is, which is perhaps the bigger issue, is just the opportunity cost, because now that money's not available to compound and grow, for the next 20 years while you're between now and when the Lord calls you home. Now, you could also say, listen, I've worked, my whole life. I've got plenty of assets. And, we haven't gotten into the rest of your situation in terms of how you're going to, cover your income in this season of life. But if you've got enough assets and you say, listen, I just want to take this out, pay the tax on it, buy the car, well, that's fine. But we just need to factor this into, what other assets do you have and how are you going to fund your lifestyle expenses moving forward? I'd rather you do that without taking the money out of the 401k, just so we can keep as much growing for you as possible. But if you have enough in the way of assets, that may be perfectly appropriate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't have enough in assets. I mean, I'm gonna be stretched then.
Okay.
So it'd probably be better to leave the money in there, like you say, and let it grow.
I think so. And then the question is, okay, now how do we solve for the car? And do you have a car right now? I mean, the cheapest car you can own is usually the one you have right now, and you continue to drive it. But I would try to preserve as much of that 401k money as possible, just because it sounds like you're going to need that. And so let's keep that money growing for you. We appreciate your call today, Lawrence. Hopefully that gives you a few ideas. Let's go to Yvonne in Cleveland. You'll be our final caller. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, sir, for taking my call. Long story short, 2019, we had $200,000 in our savings. COVID came and life circumstances, illness came, and now we are maintaining $500,000. We're bringing in $65,000, roughly that, with my husband and myself. He's 57, I'm 54. And just want to know a plan to how do we start over.
Yeah. So what is in, your checking right now? Just enough to cover this month's bills? Are you all living paycheck to paycheck?
So we're bringing in 65, and we're basically, at the end of every month, we're maintaining 500.
Okay.
And that's across 5 bank accounts. So when I say we need to start over, we have retirement, and both of our accounts are 25 apiece. So that's 50,000 that, that's for our retirement or for our, so that's life insurance.
Yeah, Okay, so here's what I'd like to do. I'd love to offer you, if you'd be willing to take advantage of it, one of our certified Christian financial counselors to get on the phone with you and your husband over a series of phone calls and help you put together a budget. Because the key for you guys in starting over is to dial back your spending so you can create more margin so that you can fund those retirement assets over the next decade. Stay on the line. We're going to get your information. We'll cover the cost to get one of the CERT CFCs to call you and see if they can work through it with you. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.